Coming up, the podcasteers and their path through the storytelling challenge. What story will they decide to tell? And how will they use Tom's coaching to bring it all together? Find out right now on America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello and welcome to Storytelling Week on America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm your host, Brian Ibbett, and today on the show, we'll follow Amy and Alex of the Podcasteers as they work on their entry. Later, we'll hear Tom's coaching and the final result. But before that, let's catch up with the Podcasteers and see how things are shaping up. I'm here with Alex from the Podcasteers. How's it going, Alex?
Great, Mr. Ibbett. How are you today?
Good, good. Another rough elimination to go through, man. That was a tough one because well, they've all been tough, you know. Who am I kidding? There haven't been any easy ones, but Joe, we absolutely love Joe, and it really was such a close race between all three teams, who I think did a really good job with a tough project like comedy.
Yeah, comedy is really tough, and it's so subjective. And, you know, we recognize that we took a risk. And when we set this thing up and we all agreed on the idea, we said, you know what, if we don't come out of this thing alive, we're going to have a lot of fun going down with it. So, and we did. I mean, it was fun at the very least. We learned a lot. We took the risk.
It sounded fun. It sounded like a lot of fun to do. You guys absolutely swung for the fences. So there is something, like you said, definitely to be proud of for that. But now let's talk storytelling. You guys have had a little bit of time to talk. Have you guys figured out, A, what the story is that you're going to tell and who's going to tell it?
Well, you know, we haven't really dived into what it is that we're actually going to talk about yet. We actually decided that after the loss, we weren't really in a good state of mind to collaborate really well.
Sure.
But one thing that it allowed us to do is really reflect on what is important when it comes to a storytelling podcast. And what I decided to kind of lead with is really the idea that what is in it for the person taking the time to listen to this narrative, and what are they going to walk away with? And Amy and I talked a little bit about that concept over our Discord server. And we have some ideas that we're going to come to the table with tonight during a planning session figure out, you know, we both have some ideas on some stories that we personally experienced, but it's really a matter of like, okay, what are we leading with that's going to actually provide value for the listener?
Right. And how do you frame something like that?
That
totally makes sense. That seems like a twofold challenge, maybe even a threefold challenge. It's not just the story. It's figuring out who's going to tell it, how you're going to tell it, and involve everybody, whether it's two people doing the talking or only one person talking, the other person editing or working in the background, and how to frame it in a podcast, right? Creating a podcast around it.
Right.
Very interesting. Well, cool. I'm excited to see what you guys come up with there. What kinds of things are you looking forward to discussing with Tom? Are you hoping to have an idea fairly well germinated before you talk to Tom, or are you going to kind of let Tom help solidify it?
I feel really confident going into conversations with Tom that we have a good framework at the very least, so that we can come with somewhat of a concrete idea, and it's malleable enough to really change if it comes down to that. But conceptually, you know, we want some kind of a framework in place before that. I'm pretty confident we'll have something put together by tonight and ready to go for tomorrow's chat with Tom.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to hearing that too. I like sitting in on those sessions because it's not just helping you guys. I think it helps everybody who listens, brand new podcasters or podcasters who've been doing it for a few years, or even podcasters who've been doing it even longer. And there's things that you just kind of take for granted and you forget. And Tom is great at pulling those out.
And you know, it's funny hearing Jury kind of giving himself a hard time about giving us feedback on on organic cosplay.
He was really beating himself up about that.
and I think it's funny because I really thrive on feedback, and I really appreciate the guidance and everything that everybody really here has provided so far. And even his, you know, harsh criticism of the show, and he hated how he was giving the harsh criticism. I was like, dude, bring it. This is great, because it helps really frame up and keep, he's really a master at what he does, and I want to learn from that if I'm ever to go down that angle. I've always enjoyed comedy, and I may look at doing something like that in the future, but mm-hmm. that sort of feedback is what makes us better. So, Jerry, don't feel bad. It's fine.
You know, and I think he did a great job of redirecting his anger towards me, too, for putting you guys through a comedy podcast challenge.
It was brutal, man.
It was brutal. Now, something I tend to ask, you know, you guys all randomly is, are you guys getting ideas for podcasts that you might even want to do after the competition is over? Things that you hadn't thought of as a future style of podcasting?
Yeah, you know, I may have touched on this in the previous interview that you and I did, but Culinary Capers is one that we are really jiving with. And it totally makes sense to split up the responsibilities on a show like that and have somebody take care of editing, somebody take care of some of the voiceover work and all that. That's a team effort. And it's something that all four of us, me and Amy and Rishi and Joe, that we're actually exploring doing that as a show.
I love
later
it.
On.
That's so cool. I'd love to see that happen. And you'd have, I'd be your first subscriber because I think that is such a cool, concept and kind of underscored by all the stuff that Jerry was saying last night. So
yeah,
talk about great feedback from him on that.
Yeah, it totally was. And, you know, one thing about this competition is that it's helped me really realize what the range of my capabilities are. I've been really stuck in, I don't want to say stuck. Stuck's a strong word, but you know, I've been doing the Dad Chronicle for, you know, the past couple years.
Sure.
And that has been a very specific style. And it's making me realize that I actually have the potential to do more than just that sort of narrative style podcast where I can really branch out into doing more complex sort of shows and different things. It's been a really great experience.
That's cool. And I think that's something that happens to a lot of podcasters is they get so and stuck right isn't the right word. You're totally right. But they get in a creative loop, and it takes something like coming up with a different show and a different style to help kind of break that loop and maybe make a concurrent loop or a concentric loop or something like that, whether it's in the same field of expertise or something brand new.
Right.
It's cool. It's a really cool visual orbit to think about.
It really is. But I am looking forward to, you know, taking advantage of some of the experience I have with the Dad Chronicle, where in some cases I do a narrative around sort of the experience of fatherhood and taking that and putting it here in this upcoming show. That should hopefully help with the delivery. Amy and I both have to talk about what our stories are going to be, and that's the other thing. You know, it's funny reflecting back on the stories, and I sat upstairs and I was really racking my brain on what are actually funny or interesting stories from my life. I couldn't think of any, but that's because I think I was thinking of it internally and asking the person who knows me best, who this is all commonplace anyway. Something that Amy and I are going to do is sit down and just do a Q&A together where we don't really know each other as well as our spouses do.
Yeah.
And thinking about, okay, is this an interesting story? Do you think this is something that people would enjoy listening to? So that's a way that we're going to approach this specific episode. And hopefully, you know, whoever has the best story will certainly be the storyteller.
It's going to be one of those outdo each other kind of situations. Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you about the time I got so drunk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, very good. I'm excited to hear that. Alex, looking forward to hearing the Tom sessions tomorrow and what you guys come up with at the end of the week.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time today.
Let's hear from Tom.
Hello. How's it going?
We're good. We're here. We're alive. Amy has gotten better from her wisdom teeth being yanked and now has pneumonia.
Yeah.
Oh, so,
yeah.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It kind of sucks.
It's been a cavalcade of terrible.
And then we lost Joe and just.
Yeah.
It's been a little rough.
Not to make it any rougher, but I do have a little bit of feedback from last week if you guys want it.
Please, yes.
Okay. Minor technical thing. The first caller audio was a little bit low. That could have been evened out. I felt like you didn't take all the opportunities you could have to be funny.
Okay.
a Harrison wig is a cut above, for instance. Like that could have been a funnier tagline that played into it. I would have liked Amy to ask more about wig husbandry. I was like, I just had a whole world building thing of like, what does that actually mean? You did it with coca leaves. Like you did dig in on coca leaves. So I liked that. Square Earth was great. But again, I would have liked more. Like, yeah. Have it be right. A platform for people who don't believe in the round earth or something, right? Like you could have just added a little extra. Examples of wig species more than just the Travoltas and Van Buren's. I could have used a few more, but I love the ones you had. But you had great commitment to the bit. I loved the confusion around Columbia, South Carolina. That was awesome. The second interview with the gnat sound and the wild wigging and the Travoltas, how you see scaring to get the wig to look better was a great concept. It was really fun.
All right, thank you. Yeah, we had fun with it, and we knew that we were taking a risk. And if you want more information on wild wigs, Amy has an entire document that she actually put together that we've only used like an eighth of.
I'm not going to pretend that it was a fever dream.
Throwing that out is like, if you'd like more information on wild wigging, check our show notes.
Oh, gosh, it would have been. Yeah, that would have been.
Yeah,
but that was really fun. It was a really fun concept. I loved it.
No, thank you. We had fun with it. So this week we have a personal narrative, and we're taking basically a personal experience in how we are dealing with either the death or some kind of really tough experience with a loved one, and kind of talking about how we dealt with it personally. So for the sake of this episode, I wrote about when my grandfather died, and he was my hero. And I kind of talk about how I didn't let myself grieve, and I want to kind of like the why of this show, and that's kind of something that I'm trying to lead with, is that I want to be able to share that, you know, you have to be able to grieve, you have to be able to kind of you have to let yourself go through that. So the way that we started out, and you know, one of the pieces of feedback that I'd like is that we start out the narrative with, you know, it just starts out saying, let me tell you a story about Frank. And then I kind of go through his immigrant story coming from Cuba and building a business, starting a really successful business. And, you know, now ultimately that's trickled down to where we are successful, you know, here in the Albizu clan. And, you know, and what I then dive into is, you know, I've got some memories of me growing up with my grandfather, and then recounting how he got sick, and then kind of diving into the I didn't let myself grieve. So, you know, one thing that we're a little concerned about is, you know, I have about, I don't know, two or three little paragraphs about Frank, and then the rest of it is about my experience with Frank. Is that too much with Frank up front to where it might be misconstrued as a story about Frank rather than me? And how do we deal with that?
Okay, so one thing you want to do is figure out what are the three things you want people to take away from your story. And you've got one for sure, which is learning how to grieve. You got to learn how to grieve. And so you want to hit on that. Okay. And the other two can be other experiences that you had, if you want to focus it. In which case, everything you say about Frank needs to be setting up the lessons you're going to give about your own experience, right? You can't not talk about him, or people won't understand, like, well, but why'd you care, right? I get he's your grandfather, but what was so special about him, right? You've already told me a couple of things, like he came over, he set up the business, he, you know, so you have to, your first act, if you think of it in three acts, is getting people to care about Frank, getting people to know the things about him that are going to inform the conclusions you want them to draw. Why you grieved is going to be very important in delivering the lesson of why you needed to learn how to grieve, right?
Sure.
And so whatever those other things that you want people to take away, you want to make sure you set them up. And if it really works, you'll just see the themes come out of it and say, oh, right. No, the fact that his life was about this really impacted my view of the world and maybe caused me to have a harder time grieving, right? Because, you know, I could, I'm not saying this is the actual situation, but I could see like a commitment to work ethic, you know, being handed down and I want to be like my grandpa and be tough, you know, could stop you from wanting to feel because you took it too far. As an example, right? So, so you want to start with like, he was a tough guy. This is an example of a story where he, you know, held his line and then relate that later of, you know, the fact that you tied those two together, but you do want to make sure that you tell all of these things in examples. It's in TV and movies, it's show, don't tell. In audio, it's describe, don't tell. Describe a situation that happened that exemplifies the point that you want to draw.
Got it. Okay, that is extremely helpful. Do you think that we're taking too somber of a tone?
No. It is a little weird to go from a comedy podcast one week to dealing with death. But it's an important thing. And it is, if you want people to get something out of this, you can't just be a Debbie Downer for 10 minutes, right? You have to pull the light out, but it sounds like you are. You're like, these are the lessons I learned. And, you know, this is why his memory will always lift me up. That's how you keep it from being too somber.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really great. And what do you think makes personal narratives really engaging in podcasts?
Identification. People going, that reminds me of something, or that's something I wish I had known, or am now glad that I know something that makes people think, oh yeah, that experience that I've just heard about has now helped me in some way.
Sure.
Now, here's the thing. What's Amy's role in this? Because it sounds like you're writing, you're also reading.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to do all the production work on it also. We may or may not, depending on how the show shakes out, we may or may not have an intro piece. We're going to see what it winds up looking like.
The intro piece being...
Like, this is Amy's show, and she's introducing the concept, like what it's about, doing an intro outro.
And this week we have Alex talking about his grandpa or something.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, no, that could work. I could see that. Yeah, and you've got the right ideas. Like, try it out, and if it scans.
Right, if it doesn't work, yeah.
then go with it, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, he's writing a story. I'm helping him edit it. But, you know, even before we do a recording and that kind of stuff. Because we came upon this idea because, like, we started by thinking about, like, what stories we have, and we both have... like stories that would fit in the same podcast series. So that was kind of how it all came out.
Yeah. Well, as long as you just don't want the judges to go, hey, this was great, but Amy didn't seem to do anything.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So she's gone. And something that we were really trying to figure out is like, we have an idea of a theme for this show in general. And do you think that that's like the theme of kind of recounting and celebrating people who have had a good impact on our life, and then, you know, how we have dealt with whatever troubles or hardships that they've encountered. Like, is that a solid theme?
Oh yeah, no, it's a theme that's been done before, but it's a good one. You know, learning from the past, honoring our ancestors, all people like that stuff. It's all just about doing it well and having a story where people learn something they wouldn't have known about before. For you, Amy, is consider production elements that will enhance what Alex is doing. Right. So whether, you know, I don't know if you can get anything that Frank wrote. I doubt you have any recordings of him, but if you had that to put in there, you know, anything that sort of adds to the flavor of it.
That is the gold right there. What you just said is the gold, and I might have something. I might. Expand let's see what happens.
And those are production elements then that Amy can also hang her hat on and be like, yeah, no, that was my edit.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you for your time as always. It's awesome.
Yeah, of course. Thank you guys. And good luck. I like this concept a lot.
Thank you. Can't wait to have you hear it.
We Carry On, a series of stories from those who have persevered through their darkest struggles. This week, podcaster Alex Albisu talks about the power of overcoming grief and celebrating life.
I'm going to tell you a story about Frank. Frank was a Cuban-American immigrant who fled Cuba shortly after the revolution, and this was the early 1960s. He risked his life to escape with his wife, he had a 2-year-old son, and they left with no money, and only a few personal belongings. The government even threatened to kill him and his family for leaving. They eventually made their way to America, where he planted roots in Virginia. Frank worked two, sometimes three jobs at a time to make ends meet, and family was always his highest priority. And even though his body may have been in tremendous pain from all of that work and he was suffering from lack of sleep, he persevered all for his American dream. More and more of his family followed in Frank's footsteps, fleeing Cuba to the United States. They wanted to start a new life as well. He eventually opened up his own food distribution service. He realized financial freedom that he had no idea existed. He achieved his own American dream. Frank is the epitome of a great American immigrant story. I tell you about Frank because he's my grandfather, Francisco Albizu. Growing up, I wanted to be just like Frank. I loved working in the kitchen with him, watching him and learning how to cook Cuban dishes like ropa vieja and vaca frita. We'd make fried plantains, mango smoothies, and Cuban coffee, all from the produce that he would bring home from work. And I learned to appreciate great food. I even went to work at his food distribution company during the summers in high school, and it was really hard labor, physical labor. Unloading and loading hundreds of pounds of food, and even as a small skinny kid, I was able to hold my own. And one of the things I remember most was how everyone respected El Viejo, as they call him, and that translates into old man. And they didn't just respect him because he was the boss, but because even as the old guy, he was doing all the grunt work of tearing through these pallets of food by himself, taking calls from lifelong customers to place orders, and he didn't even break a sweat. I admired his stalwart dedication and his work ethic, and I wanted to carry that through my life. I wanted to be a leader like him and lead by example. Frank is one of the people I look up to most in how I want to live my life and achieve my own dreams. I've inherited his entrepreneurial spirit and his drive, his work ethic. He sacrificed everything to give his family a comfortable life and never complained once about how hard he had to work to get there. He supported me in everything I ever did in life. He was one of my biggest fans. I'm the oldest grandchild on my dad's side of the family, which is the Cuban side, and I have fond memories of a video that my dad put together of all my relatives providing words of encouragement and pride and love as I began my journey towards my college degree. And one of the things that Frank said to me in that video was, "Pie en tierra, Alex, pie en tierra." And that roughly translates to keep your feet on the ground or go get them. And that deep baritone voice and his words of encouragement echo through my mind every single day.
Pie en tierra, Alex, pie en tierra.
So it was August of 2006, and I was on my way home from class. This was my freshman year of college. Frank called me, and he delivered devastating news. He had been diagnosed with ALS, or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, commonly referred to as Lou Gehrig's disease. If you don't know what that is, it's a progressive neurodegenerative disease, and it affects the nerve cells in the brain and the spinal cord. I was in shock, and I didn't know how to respond or deal with it at the time. I refused to believe that the strongest person I've ever known was going to die. Like, that was impossible. I was sitting at the kitchen table trying hard to have a conversation with him. This was a couple months after his diagnosis, and he had a lot of trouble talking or forming sentences due to the deterioration of his muscles and his nerves, especially in his cheeks and his tongue. And at that point, I desperately wanted to learn as much as possible about my hero before he died, to learn more about the Cuba he grew up in versus the one he left. He would do his best to talk about some of his favorite stories about growing up in a poor farm town and finding the love of his life in La Habana, my grandmother, participating in a tumultuous and controversial revolution. And he even gave me a coin. It's a Cuban peso that he always kept in his pocket to remind him of what he fought for. Over the course of the next 7-8 months, I watched one of the strongest people I've ever known literally wither away to nothing. Slowly, I watched as he lost his ability to walk, to talk, to eat. I watched my hero die a slow and terrible death. And in April of 2007, this was on Easter Sunday, my grandfather was finally released from his husk of a body. He was no longer suffering. But my suffering didn't end. I had a lot of trouble getting over the fact that Frank wasn't going to be there anymore. He wasn't going to be there to watch me be the first person in our family to graduate college. He wasn't going to be there to see me get married to my high school sweetheart. And he wasn't going to be there to witness me becoming a father and succeeding in life. It killed me that he wasn't going to be able to witness the fruits of his labor. It took me a long time to accept that he was gone, and I tried being strong for the sake of those around me until one day I broke. And it took me a couple months, but I broke down to my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, Deanna. I cried. I cried hard. She and those around me helped me realize that, you know, it's okay to mourn the death of your hero. And just because he was always stalwart and never wavering, that doesn't mean that he didn't break down too. It took me a while to realize that. My family often talks about how proud Frank would be of the life that we're all living now. And I'm tremendously blessed by the sacrifices that he's made for our family, for the opportunities that he gave his son, who's my father, to live a prosperous life and pass that on to me. And now, in turn, I have an opportunity to pass that on to my daughter, Aria, his great-granddaughter, who he'll never meet. I was able to grieve and come out on the other end of that grief with the love, the support of everybody around me. And I often think about his sacrifice and how that's given me a reason and ability to celebrate all the things that he taught me to be passionate about, like good food, good music, family. I've learned to channel that grief into celebration. So remember to celebrate those who have come before us and never forget their sacrifices. For me, it's easy to take life for granted. I'm so blessed. But when I need to recenter myself, I pull out my wallet and I pull out that Cuban peso. And I remember the impact that Frank had on me and for all those who will come after.
That's going to do it for this episode. Be here for the next episode where we follow three Yanks and an Aussie through this challenge and see how their show is shaping up. And then later this week, the judging episode where someone will be eliminated. That's coming up all this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.